tithe goes to meet the needs of the church. The offering goes to missions and missionaries all over the world. And this is really, really cool. And everybody get ready.
Get ready.
Because I got great news to announce to you today. You're the first to hear this. This is exciting. Harvest Project 2020. Our goal was $45,000. And guess what? This week we made our goal. Isn't that awesome? Can you give the Lord praise?
During COVID, can you believe that? That is so God.
I think it's the first time since we've been doing Harvest Project in all these years, and we've probably been doing it for about 10 years now, first time we've met the goal this early in the year. Is that right, Miss Carla? She's shaking her head back there. And I don't know the exact number right now, but we're over 45,000. Mm-hmm. And somebody was asking me, well, what happens now? Well, at this point, it's pretty exciting because all of our missionaries, we're so happy to see Neil and Juanita back over there today. Good to see you guys. All of our missionaries that we support, and if you're wondering who that is, go check that board outside in the left hallway. We'll get a Christmas bonus.
Yes.
Isn't that neat? So everything that comes really in cool. now is going to be divided up among all of our missionaries and ministries for a Christmas bonus. Mm-hmm. And then some other things that we'll be doing in the community around the world to make a difference. So don't stop giving. That's not the point, but I just wanted to celebrate with you this morning. So let's pray over our offering. Father, thank you that we get to be radically generous and thereby share the blessing with many others. Lord, I really believe that one of the ways you want to shape our hearts is you want us to be radically generous, just as you've been generous to each of us. So God, help us to give, and Lord, use it to make a difference in this city and around the world for your glory, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. God bless you as you give this morning. A couple of quick announcements this morning. Wednesday nights, we're coming. We've only got a couple more left, but you're still welcome to come join us. Let me tell you, last Wednesday night was superb. If you haven't seen it, you need to go back and check it. Is your mic out?
I think maybe. No, there I am.
Oh, there you go. you should check it out. Mona Hoyle taught, and it was just flat out anointed. It was powerful. I was in tears. Our whole table was in tears and really, really powerful. So this Wednesday night, Jen Dupin's going to be ministering on how to minister to the next generation. Come on out. We'll keep our distance. We'll have a nice meal. We'll make sure it's served safely. And you know what? We just need each other.
Yeah,
we just do.
We do.
And then coming up soon is the retro movie night for our young people. We're excited about this. This is going to be November 21st right here. And invite all the young people. We had 42 the last gathering.
Yeah,
so that
amazing.
Was pretty exciting, especially in COVID times.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, honey? There's this little restaurant in Austin, Texas, that's kind of gotten famous here over these last few weeks for the signs they put up. And they're kind of humorous, and I thought we'd just share a couple because it's good
I'm
to laugh.
I'm seeing it, so that's making me laugh.
It's good to laugh. Oh, you like? Yeah. Okay.
I'm seeing that one. Okay.
Yeah. So what do you think about this one? You know, is your refrigerator running? Because I might vote for it, you know? I mean, hey, what are our choices out there?
Okay.
My son, anyway, he's promoting Kanye West. But anyway, you know what? Pray about who you're to vote for, okay? And then check this one out, right? What if nobody was president? We all promised real hard to just be cool.
That's
anyway,
not going to work. All right.
We need a leader, right?
Yes,
thank you, honey. I love you, dear. Give her a good hand, would you? She's so terrific and so wonderful. I appreciate my wife so very much. Amen. Well, this morning, I am excited to share the word with you. It's been a couple of weeks, and whenever I have a little bit of a break, I always appreciate the break, but then I'm just absolutely passionate to get back and to proclaim the word. And I feel like that God's given me something really good for you for these next 3 weeks. And then we'll transition into a little bit of a Thanksgiving service, which will be awesome, and then we'll be heading into the holidays. But as I was praying and seeking the Lord for these next 3 weeks, I feel like the Lord showed me some things just to help us walk in victory. Listen, we're in a war. Have you noticed that? There's a war going on, and it just seems like the intensity of the war has increased over this year. It's 2020, and it just feels like where in the past maybe you could kind of ignore it to some degree, you just can't ignore it these days. The war is intense. The war is constant. It's a war for your heart. It's a war for your mind. It's a war for your soul. And I want to talk about over these 3 weeks, three things that I think are just key if you're going to really walk in victory in these days. And by the way, I'm just so happy for all of you who are joining us online. We love you. You're part of this family. So this morning I want to talk about the fact that if we're going to walk in victory, one of the things we're going to have to become better about is we're going to have to stop believing the enemy's lies. Thank you, Pastor Bird. Appreciate that. Let me try it again. We're going to have to stop believing the enemy's lies. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That's encouraging. Now, as I'm preparing for this, as I'm seeking the Lord about this, as I'm working on this, last night, kind of a strange night, I don't exactly know why this happened, but Tracy and I, neither one of us could sleep. You know, here we are all pumped up and excited about that extra hour of sleep. How many of you get excited about that extra hour? You can kind of tell you're getting older when you get excited about an extra hour of sleep. You're like, ah, woohoo, extra hour of sleep. This is awesome. And then at 2 in the morning, we woke up and couldn't go back to sleep. Sitting there going, man, this extra hour of sleep's not going to do me much good, just laying here, tossing and turning. And I got to tell you, here's what started happening. And I'm just being flat out honest with you. Is it okay? Okay, because we're all about being real and authentic here. And I love to preach out of the things that I'm working through and walking through and asking God to help me in. And, you know, in the middle of the night, I'm having to swat down the enemy's lies. They're coming at me like those murder hornets, man. They're trying to spray me and sting me, and I'm just swatting those babies down. Get out of here, enemy. I mean, he's lying to me. You know, telling me stuff like your time of pastoring's over. You've seen your best days, and I don't know why you keep at it. Like, that's nothing but a lie, enemy. Get down in Jesus' name. By the way, there's my brother James back there. Everybody give Brother James a shout out. Woo! Excited to see James back in the house of God. So good. Been praying for you, my dear brother. Been praying for you. Oh, the enemy coming at me in so many different ways. Bringing up failures in my parenting. Just lies, just the kind of lies that'll cause you to just feel defeated. I'm telling you, church, one of the keys to victory in this day and this hour, this time we're living in, is having a strategic plan. This is what I want to talk about these next 3 weeks, a strategic plan to walk in victory. And one of the first things we've got to do is we've got to recognize the enemy's a liar, and we've got to absolutely stop believing his lies. Because he's so good at it. And let me just give you a couple of scriptures here this morning. He's so good at it that sometimes we're just cunningly deceived into believing these lies as if they're just normal. It's just reality. It's just life. John 8:44, Jesus is actually addressing some of the religious leaders, and he's talking, but he mentions something here about the enemy that is incredibly insightful, and I want you to see it. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and listen to this, and has nothing to do with the truth. There's an enemy opposed to your soul who has nothing to do with the truth. Did you catch that? Because there's no truth in him. None. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he's a liar and the father of lies. So how do you know when the enemy's lying? Whenever he's speaking. Whenever he opens his mouth. Anything he tries to whisper into your heart, your soul, your mind that doesn't line up with God's word, it's a lie. He's the father of lies. When we talk about spiritual warfare, one of the things that sometimes we fail to emphasize is the fact that the enemy's main tactic in spiritual warfare is the lie. And the lie only has power to the degree that you believe it. So you want to, if you want to set the enemy to flight, if you want to walk in victory over the enemy, the first place you start is by just identifying his lies and rejecting them in Jesus' strong name. Revelation 12:9, it says, and the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who's called the devil and Satan, and listen to this phrase, the deceiver of the whole world. Now, there's going to be a remnant, amen? A remnant of people who are faithful to the Lord to the end. You and I may have the opportunity to be that. I don't know if this is the end time or not, but I know it's my end times. And I want to live faithfully for Christ in everything I do, everything I say, the kind of person I am in every way. I want to thoroughly be all for Jesus. Amen. And I do not want to live under the deception of the enemy. So first thing we've got to do is stop believing the lies of the enemy. In the very beginning, okay, in the very beginning, Satan tells Eve a lie to get her to sin. It starts with a lie. As soon as you buy into the lie, as soon as you take hold of the lie, you are one step closer to now disobeying God and sinning. It really starts there with your belief. When you attach to a lie, sometimes people will come to me and they'll say things like this, Pastor, pray for me. Satan's been lying to me. I've heard this through the years. It's very interesting. Pastor, pray for me. Satan's really been lying to me. It's interesting because, you know, and sometimes I'll kind of stop and go, wow, this is interesting. You know the enemy's lying to you. And yet you need me to pray for you because for whatever reason, you're vulnerable to that lie. You're listening. There's something about it that's appealing to you. There's always an element of truth in every lie the enemy brings our way. And I guess at times we're all a little bit vulnerable to the enemy's lies. It's one of the reasons we need each other so much is because the enemy's a constant liar. And if we're not careful, we'll fall prey to his lies when we're weak and vulnerable. The Bible says he's like a lion who prowls about looking for someone to devour. How's he going to do that? By getting you, first of all, to believe a lie. Once you take hold of a lie, the lie leads you down a path of sinning and disobeying and ultimately bondage. Sometimes we believe lies as if they're just normal. We'll be raised up in the context of lies, things that have been spoken over us or things along the way that we've just latched on to and believed about ourselves. Well, I'm just not very smart. You know, I never really did very well in school. You know, I'm just clumsy, man. I just am accident prone. Have you ever seen me? I mean, I just, you know, we'll say things like this about ourselves. I just don't know that I'll ever be able to be a success. You know, I don't know. I just feel like, you know, it's bound to fail. I just don't know that I fit in anywhere. Those are just a few examples. You could name so many more, and maybe one is even coming to your mind right now that you've dealt with. Or that you're dealing with right now. And I just told you, in the middle of the night, I'm doing warfare. I'm rejecting the lies of the enemy and giving them no place in my heart or my mind. And I'm bringing the truth to bear against that lie. See, here's the thing. When the lies come, and they've come to every one of us. I mean, I'm talking about something that's common here. You are dealing with this in some way, if you'll stop and think about it. And here's the problem, right? You may have opened a door to the enemy if you've believed a lie. Do you know how you know if you've believed a lie and opened a door to the enemy? If it doesn't surprise you. Now, let me just kind of tell you what I mean by that. You hear the diagnoses. You go to the doctor. You've been fearing something for a long time. And you go to the doctor, and sure enough, you hear the diagnoses. It's heart disease. Well, you know, it doesn't really surprise me. My dad suffered with heart disease. My grandfather, he died from the result of heart disease. It doesn't surprise me that, you know, that's the diagnosis over my life. When it doesn't surprise you, it means you've probably already bought into the lie. Well, it was really tragic. It was really horrible. She just was arrested on drug charges. Well, that doesn't surprise me, you know. Our family struggled with a lot of addictive behaviors over the years. And it doesn't surprise me that that's happened. Well, he was unfaithful to his spouse. Well, doesn't surprise me. That's happened many times in our family. When it doesn't surprise you, you've probably already bought to some degree into the lie. Now, let me just ask you a question. Have we forgotten the fact that we've been adopted into a new family in Christ? Have we forgotten that fact? Have we forgotten the fact that we've been made new creations in Christ Jesus? Have we forgotten that really important piece of information in the equation? We're now God's kids. We're now His sons and daughters. We've been adopted into a new family. We have a new lineage. We have new promises over our lives. We don't just have to be fatally, you know, led down a path where the enemy just steals from us. How many of you are hearing what I'm saying this morning? You don't have to live according to the lie and just one more generation of the lie succeeding in your family line. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Let's look at it this morning. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Let me just tell you, in chapter 2, God had said this: "You shall eat of every tree in the garden except the one that's in the middle." In other words, God had put it in a positive framework. The enemy now is twisting it to make it look negative and like God is withholding. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." Well, first step in believing a lie, the first step to sin, is believing the lie. The first thing that happens here is that Eve is vulnerable to the lie, the twisting of the truth that the enemy brings against her here. And I'd like for you this morning, just each of you, just to take a moment here and allow the Holy Spirit throughout this message today, just allow the Holy Spirit to expose to you any lies you've believed. Anything along the way that you've taken hold of. There's some of you here this morning, the enemy's lied to you, and you've believed that lie, and now he's stealing. And he is looking to destroy ultimately. But you can put an end to it this morning. We believe in freedom here at New Song, and we believe in all honesty that the Bible teaches you can walk in freedom in Christ. That you don't have to be held by the lies of the enemy that he's whispered to you in those darkest moments of your life anymore. Every lie can be broken through the reception of the truth. I like to call it a truth encounter. The truth, when the truth comes in, the lie has no choice but to go. So remember, Satan told Eve a lie to get her to sin. Told her the lie first, then she easily was led into the sin. So three things this morning that'll keep us from living in victory. The first is the sins that we continue. The sins that we continue. If there's a sin in your life, and I want you to really examine yourself this morning, if there's a sin that you persist in, that you know is a sin, and God's convicted you of it many, many times, if you continue in that sin, you are opening a door to the enemy in your life. Let me give you a real common one. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 10 and 11. I want you to see this. Look at this with fresh eyes. Let the Lord just illuminate this to your heart this morning. This is about all of us doing business with God. Amen? Let's get free this morning. Anybody want to get free this morning? I want to walk in all the freedom that Jesus has for me. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. Verse 11, look at this. Lest Satan should take advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. This is a common one, a really common one. Neil Anderson will say that over 80% of the church deals with unforgiveness. If you and I hold on to unforgiveness, can I just tell you, the enemy's coming into your life. You're literally ushering him in, you're welcoming in, you're opening the door, and you're inviting him in. You ever laid awake at night? Listen, here's one of the signs that you might be dealing with unforgiveness, because sometimes it just gets kind of buried down in all the issues of life. We're not even thinking about it. But have you ever laid awake at night and just rehearsed some particular hurt or offense that someone has done against you over and over and over again in your mind? I have. Sometimes in the middle of the night, just like I talked about last night, the enemy knows that's a vulnerable time, and all of a sudden something will come up, and boy, if I'm not careful, it's just repeating in my mind like a broken record over and over and over, and I'm thinking about what they did to me, and I'm thinking about how it hurt me, and I'm thinking about how I can justify myself and somehow get even or somehow hurt them. If you're rehearsing the hurt or the offense over and over and over, can I just say to you, you haven't truly forgiven? Let me tell you how I know that. To forgive means to release. To forgive means to release. And here's what happens. And again, the enemy's very cunning. Paul talks about this. Be careful, because he's cunning. You know, the enemy doesn't parade around in that, you know, that red suit with the horns and the tail and the pitchfork. He knows how to come in very subtle ways into your heart, your mind, your circumstances, your situations, and create offenses and create unforgiveness. See, Satan, here's what he does. He always uses some form of this lie that if we release them and what they did to us, if we forgive them, then nothing is going to happen to them. And we feel so wronged and so hurt. And please understand, I'm not making light of that. There are those of us who have been hurt deeply by the wrongs of others. Deeply. But can I just say to you, it's not your responsibility to bring justice to that situation. And the sooner you realize that, in fact, listen to this. The sooner you forgive them, the quicker God can begin to deal with their heart. You're literally putting yourself in between them and God when you hold on to that unforgiveness. And can you imagine, by the way, it's not your responsibility to bring justice to every wrong against you. Can you imagine? I mean, that's all we'd be up to in life, pretty much, right? I'm glad I don't have the responsibility of righting every wrong in my life. I'm glad that ultimately I can trust God with that. The just judge that God is. We love to talk about his love. We don't often talk about his justice. Secondly, is the words that we speak. The words we speak in our life. Have you ever noticed the things that you say about yourself? Sometimes, and I hope my wife doesn't mind me sharing this. If she does, we'll work through unforgiveness later. But sometimes I hear my wife say things, and I will literally stop her in her tracks, and I will say something like this: "Honey, would you please stop talking that way about someone I love so much?" When she's saying something about herself that is condescending, that is negative, that is a put down, that I can't stand it. And I just have to intervene and say, honey, please stop talking about somebody that I love so much that way. And sometimes she'll catch me and she'll say something like this. She'll say, honey, you are being so hard on yourself. Because I don't know, my personality type, I'm prone to beat myself up. How many of you here, you're your own worst enemy? And when things don't go right or you mess up, man, you just clobber yourself with your words. Listen. Those words we speak have power. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, some people will take this to an extreme and say that you and I have creative ability with our tongues like God does. Can I just say you don't? But you can agree with the one who has creative ability to bless your life, or you can agree with the one who has destructive ability in your life. You get to choose life or death. You get to choose the blessings of the Lord or the work of the enemy against you. You get to agree one way or the other. You don't have creative power, folks. I tried it. I said up and down, let there be a red Lamborghini in my driveway, and it didn't happen. It didn't work. Instead there's a blue Camry, and I'm thankful for it, believe me. Very thankful for it. Agree with God's words over your life. Proverbs 6:2 says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You're taken by the words of your mouth. What's a snare? A snare is a trap. A trap. In other words, you're in bondage because of the very words you speak. Do you see that? A snare is a trap. You set your own trap, and then you fall into it by your own words. Let me show you a scripture that you may not be that familiar with, but it makes a powerful point here. Numbers chapter 30, it says, then Moses spoke to the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded. If a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. Or if a woman makes a vow to the Lord and binds herself by some agreement while in her father's house in her youth, and her father hears her vow and the agreement by which she has bound herself, and her father holds his peace, then all her vows shall stand, and every agreement with which she has bound herself shall stand. But if her father overrules her on that day that he hears, then none of her vows nor her agreements by which she has bound herself shall stand, and the Lord will release her because her father overruled her. In other words, if someone with spiritual authority in your life hears you speaking words that are going to bind you and they overrule it or you overrule it, you can break those words off your life and you don't have to live under that consequence any longer. There's power in prayer. There's power in your words. You can break those things off your life through prayer. Words will either bind you or they'll loose you. Listen, people say crazy things all the time, just crazy things. And you've probably been in situations like this, just like I have. You're out with your kids, and thank the Lord, I've got some beautiful kids. They're just amazing and beautiful, and I love them so much. And little Eliza's she's just the sweetest and cutest thing, and sometimes you'll be out and somebody will say something like this, your little girl's so cute, and she's so sweet. And you're just blessed. Some stranger just commenting your child, and you just feel, encouraged. And then they'll come off with some crazy thing like, but I'd sure be careful if I were you, because boy, one day she'll break your heart. Wait just a minute. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Thank you very much for the compliment, but I rebuke that. No, I don't, you may not say it right in front of them. Probably you shouldn't, but you know what? Take authority over those words. Anything like that that's just said, some of you have heard growing up, well, you'll never amount to anything. You know what? Break that off your life. Some of you have believed the lie and believe for whatever reason, I'm just clumsy and accident prone. Take authority over that. Stop saying that. Well, I'm no good at math. No, you know what? Stop. You don't have to keep confessing that, believing that. And some of you are going, well, I just don't understand how the words I speak that make that much of a difference. So let me show you how. Here's what Jesus says. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means it's gotten into your heart because somewhere along the way, you have believed that about yourself, and it needs to be broken off your life. The Holy Spirit, speak to us this morning in your kindness and tenderness. Show us areas where we've believed things that didn't line up with your heart for us. Number three is the thoughts that we think. And again, some people will say, I don't know, Pastor Jeff. I don't see how that could do much. Can I show you again? Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. In other words, if you think it, and you think it, and you think it, you will move toward it. And you will ultimately become that which you continue to focus on in your mind. And it becomes truth in your life, whether you like it or not. But here's what Jesus says, John 8:32, one of the most powerful verses in the New Testament. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now let me ask you a big question as we conclude today. If the truth sets you free, then what does a lie do? If the truth sets you free, then what does a lie do? It holds you in bondage. And it's all through Scripture. This is a principle throughout Scripture. In the Old Testament, it's a powerful thing. The Bible says that the Old Testament is written for us as an example for us, that we might learn some things through what they walked through. In other words, in the Old Testament, people went through physical things that represent spiritual principles for us. And here's one right here that is very powerful. Numbers chapter 13, verses 32 and 33, it says, and they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they'd spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Now it's funny, isn't it? We don't have any record of any interaction between those spies and the people of the land, really. They didn't get into a battle. They didn't get into a debate. But did you see the progression of what happened here? Once the lie settled in to their hearts and minds, then the lie projected itself into the hearts and the minds of the people. We look like grasshoppers in our own sight. So guess what? We're absolutely convinced by that lie that we probably look like grasshoppers in their sight. We were like grasshoppers in our mind. So we must be like grasshoppers in the mind of our enemies. Did you notice how that progressed? It convinced their minds of something that wasn't even true. And by the way, I said this a moment ago, but there's always elements of truth in a lie, by the way. There were giants in the land. Yes, there were giants in the land. But by the way, our God specializes in taking out giants. He can kill them with a boy in a sling. Giants aren't a problem for him. But you know what the enemy does? He always fabricates evidence to back up his lies. Remember the story of Joseph? Joseph's brothers, they throw him into a pit. And what do? They take his coat, right? That coat of many colors that was such an emblematic thing of his father's favor and love for him. And they rip that coat up and they take some animal blood and they pour it on there. And then they go back to Jacob and they say to Jacob, is this your son's coat? You notice how they're fabricating a lie, leading Jacob down a path that is based fully out of a lie. Yeah, it was his coat. But what's he led to believe? Jacob says, my son must have been torn to pieces by wild animals. They didn't say that, but they fabricated the evidence to look that way so that he would say it. You know why he said it? Fabricated evidence. Well, it must be true because of this, and because of this, and because of this in my life. No. I'm pleading with you today, church. I want us to move into a greater place of victory in the Lord. Believe the truth of God's word first and foremost in your life. It's absolutely why this word needs to be a part of your regular daily routine. This will strengthen you. This will keep you on the right path. This will encourage you. This will reveal the lies. The better you know this, the easier you'll identify the lies of the enemy. Well, I want to close today by declaring the power of God's truth over you today. Would you stand with me this morning? If you're here and you will just humbly admit along with me that at times you're vulnerable, would you just raise your hand a little bit there? Just let me see if we're on the right mark here. I just want to declare God's truth and power over you today. Would you just lift your hands to the Lord? Let me just pray over you. Father, in Jesus' strong name, I declare the power of God's truth over my brothers and sisters here today at New Song, those that are here in this room and those that are gathered in their rooms, in their homes, watching wherever they are. I declare the truth and the power, the freeing power of God's holy word over them today. You will live, saints of God. You will live by the truth of God's word, his living, active, and powerful word, and no longer be held captive by the lies of the defeated enemy who was defeated at the cross of Christ. Any longer, you will not live under those lies. You will live according to the truth of God's word in Jesus' strong name. And everybody said amen and amen. Let's give the Lord praise this morning. Amen. Just want to leave you with this thought. This week, ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Let him reveal, even through the week, other areas that you need to break off your life. Amen. Let me pray for you today, and then I'll let you go. Father, go with us. Lead us by your truth. Let us walk in the fullness of your Spirit. Let us be lights to the dark world around us. Let our lives count for you and for your glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Everybody said amen. Give the Lord praise and God bless you. Thanks for coming today.